Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you. Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
We saw CM Punk arriving at Raw, which is when Michael Cole said it's been exactly 4 months since this man returned in this building to the WWE. Hang on. Well, it was true. It actually was the 25th of November, 2023. What an idiot I am. Also, hello, my friends, and welcome to Ups and Downs for Monday Night Raw, the wrestling review show hosted by a bald a-hole. And we are like 10 days away, whatever it is, from WrestleMania. So quite ironically, WWE decided, well, it's time to cook, and they put on some eggs. And I ate them, and it tasted delicious. Let's up those down. Because what an amazing start to Raw. Because Cody Rhodes came out to a massive ovation and said, it's this Raw, which is always a little bit weird, because this is when we have to get to fighting. But as you probably know, the fighting usually happens in 7 days, because that's the proper Raw before WrestleMania. This was a massive wink, wink, nudge, nudge. You will see. He also still felt slighted by Roman Reigns calling him a liar on SmackDown last week. Because look at all these things that he's done. A fan randomly asked if he'd be part of his wedding, and not only did Cody Rhodes say yes, but even paid for the damn bachelor party. It was the same for a kid's birthday party and the fact he's bringing the wrestling club to WrestleMania. I'd be like, you don't mean you gave them a bachelor party, do you, Cody? Because that'd be a little bit strange. Let's move on. He asks for nothing in return. If you're wondering why he always comes to Raw and SmackDown looking like a champion and dressed like a champion, it's because the real champion or comptroller never turns up. That got me a bit worried. I was like, wait a minute, Seth Rollins isn't gonna like that. My word, I hope we don't do the thing. He also told our tribal chief why he does respect him. He absolutely hates him. And he's also done with Roman Reigns and The Rock's wank fest. That really made me laugh, because he won the Rumble, so you better deal with it. It's also why he has to change things up for WrestleMania 40, because he does need something from the fans this time. Let's all ride into Philadelphia and do it together. I was like, you damn right, Codes, let's go. He then said we should all point at the WrestleMania sign. I was like, oh no, please don't do that. But actually, it turned out to be a diversion, because when all of us goobers were going, look at the graphic from nowhere, The Rock's music hit, this place went crazy. So this was like damn Santa had just turned up, and all he did was stand in the ring for ages, the noise got louder and louder and louder, when he whispered something into Cody's ear, and he left. And I like to think he said, do you have any idea where the next Gears of War is coming out? I think that's what he said. The thing is, it was a hell of an angle, and as the internet did decipher, what it looked like came out of his mouth was indeed the words, I'm gonna make you bleed later. He was telling the truth. It also kind of ties in, because so many people are always going, I want the Attitude Era back. We'll give it a couple of hours, and you're going to get it. And in terms of planting the seeds, and then paying it off at the end of this damn episode, it is getting an up. All of this just feels so big time. Jackie Redmond then asked The Rock, what did you say to Cody? And he said, well, you better ask Cody. So later on the show, she did ask Cody. And Rose is all like, I apologize. I can't tell you, but just know he's not able to keep that promise. Because of course, we don't expect blood on WWE TV. We'll get to it. Rhea Ripley then told Dominic Mysterio off for going to SmackDown without her. Dom was like, I'm so sorry. I love these two. Finn Balor and Damian Priest also told JD McDonough, listen, you've got a match with Ricochet at the moment and you better not lose. Rhea Ripley was super serious about this. When Damian was all, I've got a plan how we can win that ladder match at WrestleMania. I was like, well, just win it. Climb the ladder and grab the belt. Everything will be fine. It turned out none of this worked though, because it was then JD McDonough taking on Ricochet, and JD did lose, but who the flub cares? This rules. Now, Ricky did hit a dive instantly, but then sadly got screwed over by the commercial break, because when we came back, JD was all over him. I like to think McDonough said, Ricochet, you went on TV for about 2 months. Rick was like, man, that is true, and he got punched. That'll do. It then got absolutely hilarious, because it just became a game of one-upmanship, because people were doing standing shooting star presses, then we got Spanish flies, when Ricochet decided, oh, you've got me in a wrist lock, I'm gonna turn it into a Canadian destroyer. Now, one, he's not even from Canada, and two, my word, that was one of the best things I've ever seen in my life.
can't even think that's hyperbole.
Also means that I definitely need to get out more, and before all of this, Ricochet did actually have the damn thing won, because he hit the recoil, but Dominic Mysterio was on the outside, and he put JD McDonald's foot on the ropes.
What an absolute goober.
Ricky also went for the 450, but JD got his knees up. But then eventually, Ricochet went back to the top of Tina the turnbuckle, and the referee wasn't looking at all, so the condom basically shook the rope, and Ricochet fell down. I was yelling at the official, why are you so crap at your job? Finally, he realized what was going on, so he told Dom to go to the back, which is where Ricochet hit this man shooting star press, because JD McDonough was basically standing up, and he got the 1-2-3. Now, I was a bit worried about McDonut, because the Judgment Day eventually are going to kill him, but in terms of sitting there and just having a rollicking good time, I'm absolutely giving this an up. And then saw Jey Uso in the back, just walking down the corridors, because why wouldn't you do that? When things got out of hand. And you knew that was gonna happen instantly because CM Punk made his entrance in Chicago, his hometown. One of the first things he said was, hey man, you know, my arm may not work, but my mouth does. You should just ask April. Then he made a Netflix reference, which was basically about Raw maybe going adult TV. I think we should just leave it there and move on. He also tied this into WrestleMania because sure, he can't fight, but maybe he could be a special guest referee, or maybe he could be a commentator. Damn it, this was actually going to tie in. Punk then started going after all the people that have been slagging him off recently, including Roman Reigns, because on Pat McAfee's show, he had said some bad words against CM. So Punk was all like, oh, you know, that's fine, because when I'm climbing that mountain to the top and he's falling to the bottom, I'll make sure I say hi as he's dropping. He moved on to Seth Rollins too, was all like, man, this is the guy that keeps insulting me for having all of these injuries, which kind of seems a bit ironic, because he doesn't have any knees. Shot fired. Somebody who hasn't spoken about him at all is The Rock, probably because he remembers what happened 10 years ago. This was something for all the long-term fans when he turned his attention to Drew McIntyre. Look, I'm doing it again. I did the dance of joy. I can't wait for that. He hasn't replied to all the stuff that Drew's been doing online because he doesn't permanently live on the internet. And because he is in Chicago, why doesn't that Scottish warrior get here right now and they could do this face to face? McIntyre must have been backstage and said, audio guy, press play now. But Punk told him to shut off this music when he told Drew to get his bitch ass in the ring. McIntyre was like, you want me to do that? Don't you remember what happened last time? I ended you. CM Punk fired back by saying he's nothing but an internet troll in a dress. And Drew was like, you're gonna get cancer for saying things like that. When McIntyre started showing off his t-shirt, so CM Punk was like, well, surprise, surprise. The only way you can sell any merchandise is using another man's name. I've never had to do that. McIntyre didn't miss a beat either though, because he was all like, I tell you what's interesting about you, Punk. You don't do drugs and you don't drink and yet you're always in rehab. I was like, oh my gosh, that is such a good and horrible insult. Where's he get it from? He also talked about the fact he doesn't really care about CM Punk, apart from when he's in the gym where he needs to do something successful. He uses all this rage in his tum-tum in order to get that last rep or to win things like the Elimination Chamber. The whole time CM Punk was going, get in this ring, get in this ring. And Drew just went, nah, man, we're in Chicago and you're from Chicago. You probably have a weapon. Actually made me laugh. McIntyre then reminded CM Punk he was the chosen one when this got super uncomfortable because Punk was like, who called you that? Go on, say the name, I dare you. Now, he knew what he was talking about. Drew knew what he was talking about because he started to laugh and I knew what he was talking about. And by this stage, I was like, right, I'm gonna find every single individual that has ever come up to me and say, ugh, wrestling's not real and show them this. It's the realest thing I've ever seen in my life. Drew then suggested that CM Punk should do commentary on that night of WrestleMania so he can see Drew McIntyre win that championship when Seth Rollins' name had been said about 79 times, so as per Wrestling Rule 4.8, out he came. He called these two morons and said, what are you doing, Punk? You're not even in this match. You don't get to call the shots. When he basically polled the crowd and he said, oh, hi, what would you like to see CM Punk do? They started chanting referee. Seth Rollins looked at CM Punk and went, man, I don't know whether you know this, but the tricep break, that's his counting arm, where CM Punk dropped to the floor and with his other arm went 1-2-3. And you could just see it in Seth's face. He's like, all right, fair enough, that's pretty good. Punk then made it clear that he's not going to be the special guest referee because he would not be able to be impartial when it came to these two dipshits. And Drew grabbed the mic and said, oh, PG, brother. Honestly, if you ain't going to watch this today, you're doing it wrong. Rollins then made it clear he also doesn't care about CM Punk. And let's face it, you were about to get your WrestleMania moment because of me. Without Seth Rollins, you'd be nothing. By the way, look at this championship. You're probably never going to win it again. I think Punk was bolstered by all this, though, because he did agree to do commentary on that night for their match. Mostly because he wants to do them a favor, because Drew McIntyre can't do it, Seth Rollins can't do it, Seth Rollins' wife can't do it, so Punk will do it. And what is it? finally make these two interesting. I was like, that's also a really good line. Punk's music then started to play, but Drew cut that off because he was like, man, you weren't even in the WrestleMania match. You don't get to leave this way. When eventually he got in the ring, Seth Rollins gave him the kick that was super and finished him off with a stomp. So this changes everything because now I have no idea in what direction this is all going. And a few people recently, and I kind of got this, have been going, man, the Drew McIntyre, Seth Rollins thing needs some fire lit under its ass. Well, this was Exhibit A. And I'm also going to give it an up. And by this point, we'd had two absolute fire promo segments and an amazing match. And Raw was only just getting started. Genuinely is one of the best episodes in ages.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Shinsuke Nakamura then told us he's going to whip Jey Uso's ass later when Meek Mill got confirmed for WrestleMania. I was like, man, I hope he's in that tag team match. When we went back to Candice LeRae, I love it. Now, why WWE needs to keep these so short, I do not know. But it was Candice taking on Ivy Nile. And look, we were just talking about Drew McIntyre. Let's turn our attention to the Hater of the Year board. Now, Drew McIntyre is in at number one, and I'm this close to just permanently putting him there, especially after he went to Mindy's Bakery before Raw. But at the moment, he's still in the top position. Number two is AJ Styles and LA Knight, because their entire feud is based on hate. Number three remains Christian Cage, because you always have to remember some of the things he has said recently. And in at four, kablamo, there is Candice LeRae, who has just become the most horrible person ever. Rounding things off at five as well is Tiffany Stratton, mostly because what she did on SmackDown. Basically, in this match, LeRae started doing the whole, oh my gosh, my knee hurts thing, my knee hurts. And Ivy now knew this was baloney, but the ref was still like, you're not allowed to come here. Eventually, when Ivy did go to smack her one, Candice hit the most devastating move in all of sports and attempted a prize roll-up, and she put her feet on the ropes. Uno, dos, tres. Indy Hartwell looked so sad that she had done this, I started to chuckle to myself. It's like you've just been told that you're not even allowed to experience Christmas this year. But honestly, this has done the world of good for Candice LeRae. It's far more fun than what we were doing. Giving it up. I really do think we have to rethink this referee thing though, because it's the dumbest thing ever. This is coming from me, the person that loves dumb and goofy wrestling. But this is just 2 + 2 = potato. It doesn't make any sense. The whole point of a wrestling match is that you beat your opponent up so badly that you're able to pin them. And here the ref was going, no, no, you must not attack. And even though they were the reason Candice got the win, they still just counted the three like they didn't care. I'm sorry, that is super duper stupid. Let's get it down. The New Day and DIY then fell out because of course they're both in the ladder match and they're about to fight each other on Raw when R-Truth and The Miz turned up. As always, Truth is just the best. I'm so excited that he gets to see D-Generation X in action. He also called Pat McAfee JBL because of course he used to do commentary as well. And in the background, we did see Paul Heyman on the phone. This was gonna tie into later. It was then DIY taking on the New Day with The Miz and R-Truth on commentary when we actually learned what the Judgment Day's plan was. Kill everyone. Because as soon as they decided they'd seen enough of this, which was around about in 5 minutes, they walked out and they did beat everybody up. The ref was like, well, I have to call for the disqualification.
So we did.
Drew's had me in tears during this as well, because when he realized what was happening, he was on the headset during production truck. Production truck, cut to the advert right now, please cut to the commercial. But obviously it wasn't time for this, and he didn't want to get beaten up by the Day of Judgment. That did not work. He got totally murdered. This was just another reminder, though, that WWE has cut back on the shenanigan finishes recently. So when you do something like a DQ, it has more impact. And once again, you know my prediction here. We'll get to WrestleMania. One set of titles will go to Raw. One set of titles will go to SmackDown. But yes, I also thought this worked, and it kept me interested. We then went to Kathy Kelly, who was interviewing Gunther. He was just like, that's Sami Zayn. Every time he talks, I just hear empty words. I think he also said that Chicago is filled with shubbly nerds or something like that. I had to go read it on other websites because I couldn't make heads or tails of it. But I'm absolutely going to steal that. And do you know who else is a massive nerd? Sami Zayn. Gunther doesn't even think that Sam can beat Bronson Reed later. You ain't going to believe this. He was totally right. When we got Andrade versus Giovanni Vinci, where did that come from? Much like Apollo Crews a few weeks ago, though, this was just to put a big old spotlight on Andrade. I mean, Vinci did hit a clothesline at one point, but that's about all that he did. But again, you've got to keep some bullets in the chamber for after WrestleMania. There's always stories to tell. Eventually, though, Andrade did hit this awesome back elbow out of nowhere. That looked especially good when he hit that swinging DDT suplex thing with Jig, which I think we're now calling the Message. I'll be that guy, that's a terrible name. Commentary also mentioned the fact that it was meant to be Ivar, but he wasn't cleared, so I hope he is okay. But look, this did the job, it kept Andrade on TV. Once again, we're kind of holding fire here. No problem with that at all. We then got to more talking, but I'm not complaining at all. This was also great. For it was Rhea Ripley with her condom, and she was a bit annoyed to begin with, because she was like, this Becky Lynch, she keeps having matches with everybody else. I don't think she's focused on me at all. And of course, meant that if Rhea wanted to, she could have attacked Becky after all of these matches, but she wants to be respectful, which is when she passed the mic to Dominic, and we couldn't hear what he was saying, because everybody was going, boom. Becky Lynch then arrived on the scene, mostly because of Wrestling Clause 4.8, when she said to Ripley, hey, it was gonna be the same for me. I would have loved to have said hello to after all your matches. Problem is, you ain't having it. Ripley had no problem with this though, because there's no reason for her to fight before WrestleMania, especially because she doesn't need the attention of the fans. All she has to do is post a clip online and everybody goes crazy. And given the last 48 hours, that is very, very true. Lynch then went fully into this though, because she mentioned this viral clip and said, sure, everybody was looking at your bottom, but as we are going to talk about Rhea's, I don't care about that. All I care about is kicking your ass. She also knows there's always going to be somebody younger and better nipping at her heels, because that's just how the business works. But it's also about skill set, talent, and survivability, or being a survivor. And that's what Becky Lynch is very good at. So let's see what happens to you, Rhea, when you hit rock bottom. How are you going to pick yourself up? Rhea did agree with this as well, because Becky is a survivor, but she's also a little bit like a cockroach. She's hard to kill, but not impossible. But however, she will leave her alive after WrestleMania, because she wants Becky Lynch at home with her daughter, as she has to explain all about Mammy. Oh my gosh, this got serious. Lynch then got really mad about this, because she's like, you keep your kid's name out of my mouth, especially because my dad was always so proud of my wrestling career, but he never got to meet his granddaughter, and that is what he would be the most proud of. So don't you treat this like a joke, otherwise I'll rip your jugular out. Becky then made it clear the only reason Rhea Ripley stayed out of her matches is because she's totally scared, and after WrestleMania, neither of these guys will be the same again. That's some good promos. Dominic then got worried, so he tried to calm everything down. This is when Lynch just straight up punched him in the face. This is also something you need to see. I don't think she pulled this at all. She just whacked him. Then got this massive brawl between Rhea and Becky, and it did feel like a big deal, especially when Ripley grabbed Bex and threw her into the ring post. But they just kept on scrapping. I started to laugh again because Dominic tried to calm them down and he kept being thrown on the floor. Talk about maximizing your minutes though and making sure your WrestleMania match does need something. This is gonna be so damn good, and it's not gonna main event either night just because that's not the way. But if you did do that, I wouldn't mind at all. This feels totally big league. There's that word again. When Chad Gable and Sami Zayn basically fell out again. What is going on? Zayn was backstage all upset about what Gunther had said. When Chad Gable walked in and said, oh man, don't let him get in your head. I was furious. I was like, Chad, you're the reason for it. Last week, you were just yelling at this guy. Anyway, this was planting the seeds because it was time for Sami Zayn versus Bronson Reed. And you ain't gonna believe this. Sami Zayn lost. What the flub? Now, Bronson was just using his man meat slapping powers to begin here when Sami Zayn did come back, which is when Gunther just walked onto the rampway. You know, this is a wrestler's kryptonite. They can't handle somebody else being outside the ring. Sami Zayn was distracted. Now look, Zayn was still able to fight back into this and hit the DDT and get Bronson into the Halluva kick position when he accidentally caught eyes with Gunther and he forgot he was in a wrestling match. Reed didn't because he had kept his focus on this damn thing and absolutely smashed Sami Zayn. He hit the tsunami and he just beat him. I was totally shocked. We also saw Sami backstage again after this. He was so mad that Gunther had gotten his head. When Chad was back, he was like, I told you, this is what he does. Once again, I was so mad. I was like, Gable, trust me, you did not help. The point is, though, Chad can see what was happening and he offered to assist Sami Zayn, which is probably going to tie into some kind of Rocky storyline, given we are in Philadelphia. And maybe they even come together to screw over Gunther so he finally loses his IC title. That would be funny because he's the bad guy, but he also has final boss energy. I think I enjoyed all of this. We then continue to build Cody's Avengers team because earlier on in the night, when Jey Uso had been cutting a promo, Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa had walked in. Apparently, even when they get banned from Raw, 7 days' time, they can just come back. When Seth Rollins made sure he went up to Jey and said, "Don't worry, man, me and Cody have got your back." But then when Jey went to have his match, Seth turned to the camera and the look on his face, I am starting to get worried. He was going off there to face Nakamura, though. This thing went totally nuts. I do feel sorry for Shinsuke, because he once again has just been cannon fodder for people to beat. Although, to be fair, it wasn't his fault, because he had to deal with interference. Because after a couple of minutes, out came Jimmy Uso and Solo Sikoa. When Cody Rhodes and Seth Rollins must have been watching this like Batman, they ran out, they turned the tide. But word must have then got back to Drew McIntyre, who hates all this, just leave the bloodline alone. So he was here too, and he took out Seth Rollins with the Future Jock DDT. On the outside. I think Jey and Shinsuke then remembered, oh yeah, we're meant to be fighting. So Jey hit the super kick, he hit the spear, and he got the three. Now this does make sense. Jey needs momentum going into his WrestleMania match with his brother, but I was a bit like, man, you couldn't have felt more third wheel. Given where we're about to go though, it is getting it up. That's right. We cut to the back where Cody Rhodes was still fighting these buffoons, when all of a sudden The Rock turned up, and man, he turned back the clock. We were about to go 1999. Because he totally ruined this man and eventually threw him to the outside, which looked so damn cool because we were in the rain when he saw the American Nightmare's bus and he took this guy and he just hurled him into the thing. He then called Cody a piece of shit, which is his new favorite thing, when we cut back to Cody Rhodes. And my word, he was totally murked on the floor. And he was bleeding. That's his favorite thing. The Rock then became the ultimate supervillain, which is something he should do in his movies after this, because he took off his weight belt that now reads Mama Rhodes and says, well, let me live up to the first part of my promise. And he took some of his blood and he rubbed it on the belt as he continued to talk trash. The small part of me was like, man, this may be the best version of The Rock ever. He then told Mrs. Rhodes to watch all of this as he also referenced Dusty, because he was like, man, you think you know about hard times. You're about to experience some hard times because you don't fuck with the final boss. And he threw him into the bus again. I honestly thought at one point, given the aesthetic, he was going to throw him off a bridge as well. But this was all the good of the Attitude Era rolled up into one little package. With one major problem, now I just want to see The Rock versus Cody Rhodes, and that's not the match we get. The Rock also should have done this back in January, because of course he wanted to do him versus Roman Reigns, but Cody was a little bit of a problem. We just found the solution, just go and kill him. We also had some really interesting shots here, because during this fight at one point in the background, we saw a WWE production truck, and who were the two faces on it? John Cena and Steve Austin. And I'm sorry, that was not a mistake. That was not an accident. WrestleMania 40 may be about to go wild. This really was the greatest closing angle for a Raw in a long old time, though. And also, I think The Rock, Cody Rhodes, are in cahoots anymore. We can poo-poo that storyline, because there's no way you'd ever be able to make sense of that. But once more, if you have a few minutes with your day, you have to watch this. This is just a standout performance, and it is getting it up. I'm also actually going to throw something out here from nowhere and give this entire Raw a golden up, because honestly, at least three segments during this show were absolutely fabu. And if I wasn't pumped for WrestleMania before, I'm damn pumped for it now. I don't know what WWE is going to do next week, but they may struggle. That's the levels we're talking about here. Golden app. Also, please make sure you click the video on the screen, which is ups and downs from Smackdown, to tie all the ups and downs in together. Like the video, share the video, and subscribe. Leave a comment below and say, Simon, you don't know what you're talking about, because I do not. It's nice to be reminded. Otherwise, have a lovely day, my friends. See you soon.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, everyone. Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.